WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. What if we could block a protein to stop runaway cell division? Dana-Farber laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So in California, if you haven't heard about this, a band of Starbucks baristas, you know, they're your morning pharmacists who dutifully dispense those skinny tall lattes to all you caffeine dependents. They went to court, did the baristas, against their employer, saying that Starbucks had violated state laws by letting shift supervisors share their tips. Last month, they won that suit, and a Superior Court judge awarded $105 million to baristas throughout California. How about that? Now, Starbucks called the decision fundamentally unfair, and as the company appeals that decision, copycat lawsuits are starting to roll in. Less than 1 week after the California decision, an 18-year-old barista from Boston filed a similar suit in Massachusetts. And last week, guess what? A former Starbucks barista from New York filed, yes, another similar class action suit against Starbucks right here in our area. The New York plaintiff, if I'm pronouncing her name right, is Gina Barenboim. The Massachusetts plaintiff, Hernan Matamoros. Now, here to talk about the battles over the tipping jar is Stephen Greenhouse, a reporter who covers labor issues for the New York Times. Stephen, welcome back to WNYC.
Very nice to be here, Brian.
So, if the heart of this story is Starbucks' tipping policy, does the company see shift managers as hourly employees who are, you know, can get tips, or managerial staff?
The company says the shift supervisors are basically rank-and-file hourly employees who are not managers and therefore should qualify for tips. And the workers who sued, maybe they're philosophy majors who want to make more money while working at Starbucks, so they think a lawsuit's a good thing to do. You know, the people who sued the plaintiffs are saying that the shift supervisors are representatives of management. They, open and close the store. They, issued disciplinary reports, and they say these are agents of management, and under California law, New York law, Massachusetts law, agents of management are not allowed to share in the tips.
But the company says it doesn't believe that customers differentiate between the shift supervisors and other hourly workers because they provide the same customer service. That's their position, right?
Yes, but I think State Departments of Labor, labor officials would say it's not what the customer believes, it's what is the reality, and it might be up to a judge or a jury to decide whether the shift supervisor is actually an agent of management, and that will come down to what are the responsibilities of the shift supervisor. Certainly, they'll help dispense ventis and lattes like other workers, but they also have some supervisory duties.
So they do actually help dispense the coffee and so forth? But they also do supervisory duties, but they may hand me my cup of coffee, and then when I put a tip in the jar, I may think that, that guy's going to get the tip.
Right. But I think what the lawsuits will come down to, Brian, is, you know, to what extent do they have managerial powers, supervisory powers,
right,
above and beyond their regular rank-and-file duties?
You know, any
if they issue a performance review and someone ends up getting fired or gets a smaller raise because of that, does that make the shift supervisor so much of a manager, of an agent of management, that he or she, you know, does not qualify for tips?
All right. Any baristas or former baristas or shift supervisors or store managers listening right now and want to call in on this, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 on baristas hiring barristers. For Stephen Greenhouse, who covers labor for the New York Times, 212-433-9692. Now, I've heard one version of this, tell me if this is accurate, that the shift supervisors at the end of the day actually make less money than the baristas because their hourly wage, or they would under this ruling, because their hourly wage minus the tips is less, than the lower hourly wage plus the tips that the baristas will make. Is that accurate?
I believe that's correct. For my story last week, I interviewed a barista who says she makes $10.03 an hour, and she says her shift supervisor makes, I believe, $10.25 an hour. Now, the tips come down to about roughly $1.50 an hour. So if she can get the tips, she'd get, what, $11.53 an hour. But the shift supervisor, if he can't get the tips, would remain at $10.25 an hour. And, you know, several rank-and-file workers whom I interviewed said they sympathize with the shift supervisors. They think they should be earning more. But if the shift supervisor is an agent of management, then they say, well, management should pay them more. It shouldn't come out of the rank-and-file workers' pockets in the form of tips.
Right. Well, that seems to make sense, right? If you're Bruce Springsteen's manager, then, you know, you're going to make less than the worker. if you're managing in a coffee shop, then, you know, presumably you've risen to that and you're going to be rewarded with more money. So they're going to have a bargaining chip here in their next negotiation if this court ruling stands.
Yes.
Jared in Philadelphia, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. I am a former Starbucks employee myself, and I was, you know, your standard barista and went into to shift supervisor to management. And when you're at that shift supervisor level, you absolutely should have a tip share because you're doing exactly what the barista is doing. You're making drinks, you're serving customers, you're doing all that. But then you have additional responsibilities, opening tills and counting tills and yada, yada, yada. But you're doing the same exact job, so they should. Now, management, upper management, no, of course. You yeah. make a lot of money in management, but
so
shift supervisors...
Right, so they're doing it. And Jared, let me keep you there for a second. Here's another former barista who I think agrees with you, Richie in Stony Brook. Richie?
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I used to be a barista about last summer, trying to work my way through school, and the shift supervisors were nothing more than glorified baristas when it came to the end because they dealt with the customers just as much, if not more, as the rest of us baristas, and they did partake in the rest of our duties. And like your earlier caller said, the only thing they really did was open and close tills and what have you.
So Jared did both of these things. You were only a barista, but you think the shift supervisors are in the right here and they should share in the tips. So what do you think is going on with your fellow baristas that they are filing these lawsuits all over the country now against the people they work so closely with?
You know, I think a lot of people, it's any easy way to make some extra money, you know, that's something to do. I mean, the baristas, you know, they're not board attorneys or anything. It's just a matter of they're just trying to make an extra buck.
They're just scraping by like every...
Maybe it's someone who gets abused at his job. He's treated very poorly. That could be the case, and it's just kind of a...
It's a working-class job. It's part of the hustle.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Jared, where were you a barista and when?
I was in... Florida, in Clearwater, Florida, and I was there for 4 years, from 1999 on. And
what was your final pay per hour, if you don't mind?
Well, my final pay, I ended up becoming the store manager, and my pay was $62,000 a year.
That's as the not a shift supervisor, but all the way up to store manager. Is that what you're saying?
Store manager, but as a shift supervisor, I went from your base pay there, which was 6.25 at the time for a barista, which was decent. To shift supervisor, it was a $2.50 raise.
Right. And Richie, how about as a barista? What was your final salary, and how much did you actually get in tips?
The tips were all very dependent upon who was actually at the register at the time. But what we were paid was the Connecticut minimum wage, because that's where I was working.
Connecticut minimum wage.
Yeah, so I believe it was $7.50. I can't remember off the top of my head, something like that.
So when you're making minimum wage doling out coffee, you want those tips.
Yeah, exactly. We want the tips. But then again, the shift supervisors were the more dedicated of employees, and they would usually be more enthusiastic when on the register. They
uh-huh.
would be more personable with customers, and therefore they would pull in a higher tip count than a barista
huh.
who knew he would be there only for a month and
right.
want to leave. And
Richie, thank you very much for that insight. Tim in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
Hi, good morning, Brian. How are you?
How you doing?
Good. I'm a former store manager in New York. I left approximately 2 years ago, and I'm not disgruntled. The company was a fantastic company, but I left for personal purposes, and I'd like to provide some clarity around the subject. Starbucks has a very specific policy in place, and any district manager worth their salt is forcing the store manager to invoke the policy. The policy is as follows. Shift supervisors are not allowed to count tips. The reason for that is so that there is no concern that shift supervisors are taking a greater level of tips than baristas. However, shift supervisors are not considered upper-level management by Starbucks, very specifically because the shift supervisor position is there as a stepping stone for training to the assistant store manager and so on. The assistant store manager going to store manager. Baristas are, in fact, in the New York City market very specifically, the rule is that baristas only, a specific barista and a different barista each time mm-hmm. tips are counted, are supposed to count the tips. Okay, they count them all up, and they break them out, and those tips are broken out based upon the total amount of tips divided by total labor hours worked.
All right. Now, I'm going to leave it there because we're going to run out of time, but... Stephen, reporting on this as a labor correspondent, anything to add to that or put it in some context?
I think the listeners' comments are very smart. I think, you know, as this goes forward in the courts, it will come down to, is a shift supervisor more like an assistant manager and has somewhat more responsibilities than a rank-and-file worker, or is the shift supervisor more like a regular barista? And the two sides, I'm sure, will argue that vigorously, and I'm sure the lawyers for the baristas are, you know, hoping to cash in a big way, as they did in California.
Here's Jen in Brooklyn, who says, don't split, don't divide the baristas from the shift supervisors. Right, Jen?
I actually think that the blame is misplaced. I think that people should be focusing more on the corporate, or at least on Starbucks and their responsibility to pay the managers a wage that reflects the work that they do, so that the baristas and the managers aren't squabbling over $1.50 an hour.
Yeah, and you're a former barista yourself.
I'm a former barista. I didn't work at Starbucks. I have friends who have. And I had another question about sort of the legal technicalities. I don't know if you can answer this or if you have time, but I currently have a friend whose name I can't use and who doesn't want to call on herself because it's a current dispute at her workplace. But she's a barista at a privately owned independent coffee shop in Brooklyn. And the owner and the manager often come in and just help out, you know, doing the dishes behind the bar every once in a while. And they've been tipping themselves out a third of the tips, or three people behind the bar. She's making all of the drinks, and they've been taking some of the tips. Now, this is an owner of the coffee shop. I don't know what the legal, I don't know if that's legal or...
Right.
That's,
now, we're just about out of time, but Stephen, very briefly...
I'll try to chime in 10 seconds. The state law is pretty clear about that. Owners and agents of management, agents of owners cannot share in the tips. So it sounds to me as if what's happening to your friend in Brooklyn is not legal.
There you go, Jen. Sounds like you've got a case, or at least your friend should consult an attorney and take it from there, and hopefully one of the attorneys who won't charge you unless you win the case. But it looks like the barista lawsuit is coming to New York State. And Stephen Greenhouse, who reports on labor for the New York Times, thanks a lot. Maybe you'll come back and we'll do a show on why they ask for tips. Anyway, there are still some people who resent being asked for tips in places that didn't used to ask for tips, like coffee shops. But thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.